Translation. Srimati Radharani takes her first bath in the shower of the nectar of compassion, and she takes her second bath in the nectar of youth. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srimati Radharani first smears her body with the paste of Krishna's affection for her. She then takes her bath in the water of mercy. After passing the Palgunda age, from 5 to 10 years, Srimati Radharani first appears as mercy. The second bath is taken at noon in the water of Tarunyamrita, or the nectar of youth. This is the actual expression of her new youthfulness. So, as long as no one's expecting me to explain what this means, we're going to be just fine. I'm not going to pontificate grandly on a subject about which I have no knowledge whatsoever, but I'm going to go through some statements from Srila Prabhupada in respect of the position of Srimati Radharani, and I will endeavor to understand them to the best of my power, and I will invite anyone else in the audience here, if they would also like to express their understandings. Perhaps they'll be different from mine, or additional. I may have missed something. The secret here is that we're just trying to focus on what Prabhupada is saying and understand it. And then once we've managed to do that, we can consider our response, which may arise in the shape of questions, doubts, confusions. plenty of those, possibly insights. Maybe we get some realization when we read Prabhupada's books, they inspire us. So these are responses, and ultimately we try for an application. So what? In other words, why is Prabhupada telling me this? He's writing his books, his purports, with a specific purpose in mind, obviously to educate us. But particularly, what lesson is there that we can derive from the points that we've understood? And we should always read with that in mind and go through the steps like that. First, understand, have I actually understood what he's saying? Is there any confusion about the words, the word meaning? Any doubts? Does it bring up, does this seem to conflict with anything I thought I knew or anything I previously read? And then once we've cleared that up, then does it give me any insights into the philosophy? And finally, how can I apply this in my life? What difference does it make to me, having read this? So we may not go through all those steps, but certainly the understanding, let's attempt that. So just to put this in context, this is Ramananda Roy speaking with Lord Chaitanya, and he is describing the features of Krishna and Radha, and here, of course, Srimati Radharani. He has been questioned by the Lord, what is the goal of life? And he's gone progressively through so many things until culminating in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and then from there he's describing the features of the divine couple. This particular verse was actually composed by Raghunath Das Goswami. It's from a book called the Preman Bhoja Maranda, which I have never read, or even seen. yes, there are a number of verses here which are taken from that book, describing Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is, of course, not an ordinary girl. She embodies spiritual rasa. Hladini, the Hladini Shakti of the Lord. Let's explore some thoughts, statements rather, from Srila Prabhupada. So this is taken from a class that he gave in 1974. I can invite you to read these, actually, rather than me do all the talking. But do we have, might be a good idea if we had the roving mic. Oh, you've got it there? Yeah. So would someone like to read this? Anyone, you can read it. You've got the mic in your hand.
What is Radharani? Radharani is the pleasure potency of Krishna. Pleasure potency. Parasya Shaktir Vivedeva Shriyate. The Supreme Lord has many potencies. Natasya Karyam Karanam Chavidyate. Therefore, he has nothing to do. He has got so many potencies, just like big man, a rich man. He's sitting, but his energies, his potencies are working. Big factory, and he knows everything. Similarly, Parasya Shaktir Vivedeva Shriyate. He has got many multipotencies. One of them is this pleasure potency. Pleasure potency.
Thank you. So, I understand Srila Prabhupada is explaining who is Srimati Radharani, and he calls her the pleasure potency. And then he goes on to explain what is the potency. First, he tells us that the Lord has many potencies. So what is a potency? I understand that means an energy. And an energy is integral to the energetic, to the person. So in Krishna's case, I understand that it means it's an expression of some aspect of his existence. In this particular case, it is the pleasure potency. So it's an expression of his love, actually. And Srimati Radharani embodies that. And he's saying, the Lord has many potencies. And he quotes the verse from the Upanishads, Natasya Karyam Karanam Cha Vidyate, which he explains means he has nothing to do. He's got many potencies, just like a big man, a rich man. He's sitting, but his energies, his potencies are working. Big factory, and he knows everything. So he's comparing Krishna to a boss of a factory, a big man. So he's sitting at home, he's playing golf. He's off somewhere. But because he's set things up, he's got all of these agents of his. He's got the factory, he's got his manager, he's got his different workers, foremen, and what have you. So they are like his potencies. So what do? They execute his will. So Krishna's potencies are like that. They are executing his desire, his will. He is simply by desiring, everything happens. He doesn't have to physically do anything. He has nothing to do. So we can explore that a little bit more in a second. And he knows everything. So multipotencies. So like that, Krishna is acting through his various energies, one of which is Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency. So that's how I understand that. If anybody here would also like to, if you have seen anything there which I missed, and you would like to express an understanding, please do so. Put up your hand and you can take the mic and have a go at it. Otherwise, I know that Bhagavata Prabhu is an expert in this process.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. What's your name?
Eugene. Eugene Das.
From Ukraine?
Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Krishna Dharam Prabhu. I have a question about freedom of this. Like Radharani, she is head of potency, yes? Like this. So does she has her own can, you know, make it by her own something. Like build a temple, for example, but with her, like, if the boss saying build the factory,
yeah,
so they can do some adjustment for better working if they said, and here for Krishna, what, how do you think it's, they have some freedom or they just purely...
Okay, so you're understanding that the Radharani is the potency of the Lord. So does that mean, this is a question which is a response really, but that's okay. Maybe we can address it as we go through the class, but the question you're asking is, does she have any freedom to act independently? If it's a potency or an energy, is it impelled? Is she impelled to act simply according to the Lord's desire? Yeah. how do you understand potency? You understand that's what it means, that if the Lord has a potency, that potency simply executes his will, his desire. That's how I understand it too, yeah. That's my understanding of that term. So, yeah, Krishna's very great. And it's very hard to understand, but that's my understanding. Thank you. Did anyone have anything else they'd like to do in understanding? Prabhuji, your name?
Just kind of get a better understanding.
What's your name, Prabhu?
Charlie.
Yeah. Haribol Charlie.
So, Prabhu, you're asking, like, can Srimati Radharani kind of act independently from the Lord? Right. Okay, so, like, I guess the analogy of, like, the sun and the sun rays is, like, a really good example to use here. So Krishna is like the sun, like the plant, like the star, right, the sun. And Srimati Radharani, being that energy, is the sun rays. So without the sun, there's no sun rays to emanate. But without the sun rays, then there's no enjoyment of the sun, you know. So they're both very enchanting to each other. They can't act independently to one another, you know, like that.
Thank you. My question is like.
He's asking more, not so much what is she. Yes, she's. You're right. She's like the rays or the energy of the Lord, but his question is, does the energy have any free will? Because Srimati Radharani obviously seems to be acting sometimes like against Krishna's desire. You know, she she will, you know, cause him headaches and that kind of thing. But we'll get into that later. But everything is an expression of his desire or his will. So let's move on and look a bit more at one question that comes up for me on this. Thank you, Charlie. That's we appreciate that. So one question that comes up for me is, what does it mean he has nothing to do? I've found this from the Bhagavatam. Would one of the ladies like to read this? We can pass it over to them, the microphone.
The Lord has nothing to do. Natasya karyam karnanam chavidyate. Whatever he does is his pastime. The Lord has no duty to perform to oblige anyone.
Thank you. So, again, this verse, Natasya karyam karnanam chavidyate, svabhavi ki jnana bala kriyascha, that everything happens by the Lord's will. He has nothing to do. That's what I understand that to mean. So whatever he does is his pastime. So what does that mean? It means everything we do is not our pastime. It's not particularly our pastime to get up at 6 in the morning, get ready, go down to the station, catch the train, go to London, work hard all day in the sweltering heat, come back at night, and, you know, completely knackered, take rest, and then repeat the following day. So that's not a pastime, that's an obligation. We're forced to do that, because if we don't do that, we won't eat, and our family also will starve, and we have nowhere to live. So Krishna's not like that. He doesn't have to do anything, obviously, like that. So, but he does things, you know. So we see him doing things, right? He comes to this world, enacts his pastimes and dances with Srimati Radharani. But that's not because he has to. It's because he wants to. That's his pastime. So he's doing everything by his own sweet will, just for pleasure. His whole thing is pleasure. He has no duty to perform to oblige anyone. So that's explained in the Bhagavad Gita. There's a verse specifically saying that. I'm sure some of you might know that verse. It's in the third chapter, where Namam Karmani Limpanti, Name Kama Pale Spriha. So the Lord says in the third chapter of the Gita, he's talking about duty, and he says, I have no duty to perform because I don't desire the results of work like you do, like we desire. You know, we work because we want the result. We need the result. But Krishna's not like that. He's completely self-fulfilled. Again, going back to his energy. His energies are there doing everything. So he has no obligation to work in any way. So that's my understanding of that. I don't know if anyone has any other, maybe one of the ladies or anything else they'd like to add to that. You're very welcome. Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. I can open the curtains. If not, I have some further points on this. Jai Radha Gokulananda, Hare Krishna. Hare Bol, Namaram Vishnu Bhadaya. So, yeah, coming back to the point, the pleasure potency. Would someone like to read this?
He also wants pleasure. So when Krishna wants, Krishna is Param Brahman. He cannot enjoy anything material. He has to create the source of enjoyment by his own spiritual potency. That is Radharani. So Radharani is described in the Shastra. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Ladini Shaktir Asmat. That is Krishna's Ladini Shakti. She gives pleasure to Krishna.
Thank you. So what I think I'll do is I'll give you the opportunity to understand this first. Would somebody like to attempt that? And remember, just stick to what Prabhupada is saying and what you understand his meaning to be. Any ladies? Pass the microphone. Your name, Mataji?
D.
D.
Yes, D-double-E. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, D. Mataji.
Hare Bol. So between this point says that Krishna cannot enjoy anything material, but you, in the previous verse, we said, you know, Krishna does everything, all pastimes for pleasure. But whereas we always get told, you know, do everything, but don't do it for pleasure. But I suppose this paragraph clarifies that, because Krishna's pleasure doesn't come from material things. Whereas when we say the word pleasure, we naturally kind of associate it with material pleasures. So that's the kind of, because I was a bit confused, you know, Krishna does it all for pleasure, but we get told, oh, we need to do it like you quoted the third, in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 3, Krishna tells Arjuna, you need to go fight, but do it without being attached to the outcome, so don't do it for pleasure, essentially. So this verse to me, this paragraph to me, sort of clarified my question, how Krishna's pleasure is different from the pleasure that we normally associate.
Thank you. So you're saying this is clarifying how Krishna does not enjoy materially like we do. His pleasure is something else. It's spiritual. Yeah, so he doesn't have to enjoy it. He's not attracted to anything material. Anything else? Anyone like to say anything in understanding? Ladies or men, anyone's welcome. Prabhu? You are? Yeah. Your name?
Bhagavad Dharma Das.
Hi, Bhagavad. Nice to meet you.
This, I would say, denotes that Krishna's pleasure with his potencies, with Srimati Radharani, is beyond his Atmarama. And, because he's satisfied in himself, but he enjoys more in the relationship with Radharani and other goddesses.
Thank you. So, yes, you're saying that he is Atmarama, so he's self-satisfied, and he enjoys by his own potency, and that's Srimati Radharani. He doesn't need anything, but he can enjoy by his own self-fulfillment. He's able to do that. He doesn't require anything or is nothing outside of him. That's what Atmarama means, you understand. And Srimati Radharani is that pleasure that he enjoys, the potency. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Hare Krishna. Sorry. Yes, but even more, that his relationship with Srimati Radharani is beyond his just Atmarama.
Beyond his Atmarama?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Because he doesn't enjoy just in himself, but he enjoys the relationship.
Okay. So, beyond, in other words, Srimati Radharani is expanded from him, and thus they become two. He can enjoy the relationship. He's not just sitting there like a self-satisfied yogi who's enjoying within himself, you know, but he has actually manifested beyond himself, Radharani, to give him pleasure. So that loving relationship is where he derives that pleasure. Okay, thank you, Prabhu. Thank you very much. That's very good. Anything else? Anyone? Eugene Prabhu?
Thank you. This your discussion has just given me this.
Is it an understanding of what's been?
Yeah, Atmaram. I understand that Radharani came. Like from the Krishna.
Yeah, she comes.
So she's like a part of Atmaram, as I said. And nevertheless, this relationship with her is something which is like a miracle between his energies. So it gives this flavor. That's what I think. This flavor is come from, I don't know, from Krishna also. This between of relationship, this flavor.
Yeah. Okay, so you're saying that Srimati Radharani is the flavor rasa that she exhibits, and that's also coming from Krishna. That's his potency again being manifested through her. Yeah. Thank you. I agree. Anyone else? Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu. Nearly forgot your name there.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. I just wanted to comment on the statement that Prabhupada makes there. He has to create the source of enjoyment of his own spiritual potency.
Mm.
In the introduction to the Adi Lila, Srila Prabhupada says, yeah, we say create, but when it comes to Srimati Radharani, there's no question of creation. She's eternal. And it's just so to allow us to have an understanding of this principle, he writes, to create. But
okay. So you're saying that it says here to create. So create means that something's brought into existence.
Yes, yes.
From non-existence, so to speak. But in the case of Srimati Radharani, she's eternal.
Yes.
So you understand he's saying this just for our
edification,
to help us understand that he's the source. In other words, he's the source of Srimati Radharani, but she's also eternal. So going back to Charlie's point about the sun and the rays, they both exist simultaneously, but the sun is the source of the rays.
Yes.
She's eternal. Okay, thank you. Yeah, so thank you, Bruce. I also picked up, like, he wants pleasure. So Anandamaya Abhyasat, Krishna is described as being pleasure-seeking, like us. That's why we want pleasure, because we're particles of him. So he wants to enjoy. But if we want to enjoy, we then have to go to a great deal of endeavor to secure things for our pleasure, especially if we're interested in material enjoyment. Then it's very hard work. But even if we want spiritual enjoyment, as we've discovered, that also entails quite a lot of endeavor. We have to chant our rounds, rise early, perform, you know, sadhana daily, and get, you know, various austerities. Are required today's Ekadashi, so we've got to undergo that fast. yeah, but he never has to do anything like that. He's self-sufficient. He cannot enjoy anything material. He's not interested. He's not attracted to it. It's not that he can't do anything if he wants to, but material means to enjoy separately from God. Krishna's not going to do that, obviously. And he has to, but he doesn't, you know, it's like he's not obliged, but he does. He manifests Srimati Radharani. And that verse, Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Hladini Shakti Asmad, and the next word is Ekatmanal, which means that they are one person. Krishna and Radha are one person, and they've eternally separated themselves. And that is Krishna's Hladini Shakti, his own pleasure, manifesting his own love, manifesting in the shape of Srimati Radharani. So here is another statement from the CC. Someone like to read that? Where's that mic gone? Yeah, whoever's got it, someone over there can read it.
I had a question on the previous one.
Oh, okay. Let's go back to that then. Bhagavata Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Tell me what you understood and what your question is. You know how to do it. What you're responding to, just say first what you understood.
Well, I'm asking question because, well, I understood that Krishna is independent in his enjoyment.
Yeah.
And most of us were trying to compare ourselves to Krishna.
Yeah.
We are dependent fully on external sources for our pleasure, for our enjoyment. Yeah. Whereas Krishna is independent. He creates his own potencies. We enjoy Krishna's potencies.
Yeah.
We enjoy potencies that are already there and they are given to us.
Yeah.
But Krishna is independent. He can create his own potency of enjoyment.
Yes.
And also to the previous statement that there was a question whether Radharani is independent of Krishna. Well, Krishna has created an independent energy. All his energies are also personal. They're personifications. They're not like, because when we speak of energy in terms of material understanding, energies are not persons.
Yeah.
But in the spiritual world, everything is person.
Mm.
So Radharani has a personal will and personal independent thinking and willing and like that, but she, because she is Krishna's internal potency, she is in complete unison with Krishna, in completely in harmony with Krishna's desire. She would never go against Krishna, whereas we are tend to fall. So anyway, so that was to the previous, but... In terms of this statement now,
yeah,
I have a question. How do you understand that he cannot enjoy anything material? What does that mean, that Krishna cannot enjoy anything material?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so your question arising from this statement, Krishna cannot enjoy anything material, what does that mean? Why not?
Yeah, because that means that God is not... He's not all-powerful. He cannot do something.
Okay. You think that would indicate that he's incapable of doing something, namely enjoying materially. I did just mention that. But, yeah, what would be your response, your light on that?
I don't know. The word cannot implies that there is something that God cannot do, but that's not what...
Yeah.
What? How we understand God is, he's completely possible to do the impossible. I mean,
yeah.
He can create something like, you know, this famous analogy, can God create something that he cannot...
Can he create a hill that he can't lift?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And then you'll lift it. Yeah.
Okay. He can.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
can do it and he cannot do it simultaneously. You yeah. know. But he cannot enjoy anything material. I assume that Prabhupada means that he doesn't enjoy anything
yeah.
material.
That's,
it's
that's
not like,
thought,
like
yeah.
he cannot, but
not
he
that
doesn't.
He cannot. Yeah, it's just his use
material
of the word.
Things don't give him satisfaction and
yeah.
pleasure.
No,
his pleasure comes from the spiritual potency.
From
that's
yeah.
what, how I understand
from
it.
Reality. Yes, that's right. So it's not that he cannot. It's just that he does not. Yeah. He's not interested.
Yeah. And yeah. What is your understanding?
That exactly that. Mm. Yes, that's what he means.
Yeah.
And what does it mean, material? Material means forgetfulness of God. It means enjoying separately from Him, you know, trying to enjoy our senses and forget about Krishna, which, of course, He's Krishna. So, you know, and it means exploiting. It means, you know, exploiting others for our own pleasure. And Krishna doesn't exploit. You know, He doesn't have to. He's completely self-satisfied. And everything He does is a pastime. He acts out of love. Only for the purpose of love, so therefore it's never material. It's unconditional love in his case as well, which is expressed through Srimati Radharani. And we're just looking at that now. Thank you, Prabhu. In the is that okay? That this is Srimati Radhika is the transformation of Krishna's love. She is his internal energy called Lardini. That Lardini energy gives Krishna pleasure and nourishes his devotees. Does anyone like to try and understand that at all? I found that quite interesting. The word, the Bengali word for nourishes here is poshana. Poshana. So those of you who know the Bhagavatam will know that that's one of the 10 items that the Bhagavatam deals with. In the Atrasaraga Visharagas Char verse, that Poshanam is one of them. I'm not sure if it's called Poshanam in that verse. I think it is. It is, yeah. It is, yeah. Yes, it's Sthana Poshanam. That's right, yeah. Did you want to understand? Oh, yeah, Prabhu, yeah. Give him the mic.
Sorry, I was wondering if I could just make a comment on the previous question about the material energy.
Okay.
It says that he cannot enjoy the material energy, but... we know that material enjoyment is not a fact. It's there is no enjoyment in the material world, so it's true.
Say that again. I apologize. Yeah. He can't enjoy material. You're just commenting on that. Yeah.
So there is no enjoyment
in the material world.
Okay. So.
Yeah. Okay. So you're pointing out that actually there is no enjoyment in the material world. It's all an illusion. That's obviously he's yes. Thank you. So what does he mean here? Anyone have some thoughts on that? Any ladies that have not yet spoken, which is most of you? No pressure. I understood this nourishing to mean... inspiring, you know, nourishing. Did you want to say something, Matthew? Oh, please, yeah. Your name again? Turn it on.
Hare Krishna. Okay. My name is Iman.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I would try to understand or explain it as much as before. I was going to try to explain it. All right. I'll take it sentence by sentence. So, Srimati Radhika is the transformation of Krishna's love. I would say it goes back to us saying that she is his eternal potency, which is the pleasure potency. And the word transformation, that means that she is expressed as one of his qualities, which is love or just very loving, so that she is expressed in that way. Next sentence, she is his internal energy called Lardini. That's what she's called.
Yeah.
And that Lardini energy gives Krishna pleasure and nourishes his devotees. When I read the last sentence, nourishes his devotees, is what reminded me of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he is both Krishna and Srimati Radharani. That's emanating when emanating with him, and then also that pleasure, that love is also in it's amongst devotees. And of course, without loving or acknowledging Srimati Radharani, then how can we acknowledge Krishna? Because she is more, I would say, she is more, I don't know the word for it. Yeah, sweet, and she's more, I want to say she comes before Krishna, because even in Hare Krishna, Hare is Srimati Radharani.
More approachable?
Yes, more approachable. It's Hare Krishna, Hare is Srimati Radharani. And before you can even get to Krishna, you have to, of course, acknowledge Srimati Radharani. So.
Thank you. Yeah. So you're pointing out that obviously she's called Kaladini, and she is Krishna's love expressed externally and nourishing, because she's the one whom we approach Krishna through her. As you pointed out, we chant Hare Krishna, Radha Krishna, essentially, is what we're doing, asking her if she will connect us with Krishna through his loving service. Yeah. Yes, thank you. Let's have a look. Someone like to read that? The mic's over there. One of the ladies, you want to read this? Up there on the big screen.
Hare Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami has elaborately discussed the Ladini potency in his Preeti Sandharva. He says that the Vedas clearly state, only devotional service can lead one to the personality of Godhead. Only devotional service can help a devotee meet the Supreme Lord face to face. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is attracted by devotional service, and as such, the ultimate supremacy of Vedic knowledge rests in knowing the science of devotional service.
Okay, so what does it all mean to us? This, you know, we're getting down to the point here now. So who can have a go at understanding that? And when we understand, like, you know, Prabhupada's statements, I find it's helpful to unpack them. Like, for example, devotional service. You know, we always use that term. What does it mean? You know, only devotional service can lead one to the personality of Godhead. And the ultimate supremacy of Vedic knowledge, etc. So, what do these terms mean? What is Prabhupada trying to say there? What is he telling us? Does anyone like to have a go? You're welcome. Oh, Mataji. Krishna Prema, your name?
Prema Bhakti.
Prema Bhakti, sorry.
To my understanding,
put the mic close to your mouth. Is it turned on?
Hello.
Yeah, yes.
I think it is. So, to my understanding, is
close to your mouth.
Devotional service means it could be anything: chanting, rendering personal, cooking, dressing, cleaning. Could be in many ways. If we do it for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of God, He slowly but surely, even you could attain Him by devotional service. That's my understanding.
Okay. So you're saying devotional service can take the shape of different activities.
Yes.
Cooking, cleaning, hearing, chanting, and etc. But done for the pleasure of Krishna.
Yes, that's right. That's true.
And then, then it pleases him, of course. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Anyone else, anything that they see there that we can... Prabhu?
Selfless service, not seeking anything from God,
okay.
Expressing our helplessness, that the Supreme Power, you are the Supreme Power, I am helpless, I dedicate myself to you with wholehearted...
Thank you, yeah.
dedication. That
Hare Krishna. So you're saying that devotional service means to not expect anything from God, to dedicate ourselves to Him, selflessly serving Him, depending on Him, feeling completely helpless and totally dependent on Him, and doing everything simply to please Him, but not asking anything in return. That's how you see devotional service. Thank you very much. Yeah, that's very nice. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Can I comment my understanding on this statement? To me, it means that only devotional service can lead one to the personality of Godhead. And before that, he says that Jiva Goswami elaborately discusses Ladini potency. So it appears that Ladini potency is the devotional service. So that's what connects us with Krishna. The devotee is connected by the help of Srimati Radharani or Ladini potency, which is devotional service. That's how I understand it.
Okay, so you're noting that this is saying that Jiva Goswami has discussed the Ladini potency, and then Srila Prabhupada immediately starts talking about, he quotes him as saying that only devotional service can lead us to Krishna, etc. So that indicates the equivalence of Hladini potency and devotional service. They are basically the same thing. And that's how we attract Krishna. Yeah, thank you. Eugene?
Krishna Haram Prabhu, I have a question about devotional service. What more attracts Krishna? If we create in something or we receive something and we give it to him as a gift, or we create it from the scratch. As example, this temple was belonged to George Harrison. And then he gave it to Prabhupada, to Krishna. And if we create from the scratch for him, what is for attracts Krishna's more?
Okay, so this is a question you're asking about what is more attractive to Krishna, whether we give or... But before we go to that, that's like a response. Could you tell me what you understand devotional service to mean in this context? What's he talking about?
Devotional service for me in this context, is that we're trying to please the Krishna with our activity.
So whatever we do, we try to please Krishna. That's how you understand devotional service. Yeah? So, does that answer your question?
You understand the gifts. It's like...
Yeah.
When you create...
But if you're trying to please Krishna, whatever you do, then he's pleased. So whether you're giving or creating or whatever, the externals are irrelevant, right? Because it's the internal mood of devotion that attracts Krishna, the desire to please him.
Do you remember this story from Bible, that the son that came back?
The prodigal son?
I don't know.
How's that connected to this? This is...
It's just because of devotional, the taste of devotional service. He was out, and then he come back, and the father create for him like a feast.
Right.
And this son, he was always with him. So that's what I think is devotional. I'm really wondering. If you create something for yourself and then give it to Krishna, is it for him the taste is better than you just create for him directly? This is my...
Okay.
I don't know.
No, okay. I mean, yeah, so you're just asking, you know, is there some distinction between the type of service that we're doing, that if we create something and then give it to him as opposed to... Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, my understanding of devotional service means anyabhilasita sunyam jnana kamadhyanavritam, that it is devoid of any desire for any selfish thing. Jnana, karma, yoga, mystic powers, liberation, nothing. You know, we simply want to satisfy Krishna. We don't care what happens to us. It's, as long as he's pleased, that's bhakti, as Prabhu was saying just now. And not only that, we feel like we can't do anything without his grace, without his, you know, and that we're totally dependent on him. And this is the point here, that the Hladini potency is bestowed upon us. That's how we please him. I've got the quote. Maybe I should go to that. Let's have a look. I had an evidence from Bhagavatam as regards only bhakti can please Krishna, which is this one, that this is the Lord speaking to Uddhava, that he's mystic yoga, Sankhya philosophy, pious work, Vedic study, austerity, renunciation. Nothing external will satisfy him. No matter how staunch you are, how austere you might be, they're doing the, you know, nirjal kadashi fasting, which is great. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But that in and of itself is not sufficient. You might be doing that so that people think, wow, he's really advanced, you know, because he's fasting, so you know, every Ekadashi. Or maybe thinking by doing this I'll get some kind of power or whatever. But if you're doing this simply, you know, I know someone who does the Nirjala Ekadashi, doesn't say anything about it, doesn't tell anyone, doesn't advertise it at all. They're just doing it to please Krishna. So that's what counts, that I'm trying to please Krishna. You know, I try and please Krishna by taking prasadam on Ekadashi, honoring prasadam, because I know that pleases him. So it's about the mood of, you know, wanting to satisfy him and not the externals. These are the externals that are being mentioned here. But coming back to the point, let me see if I've actually got this. Yeah. So this is the point about the Hladini potency again. Somebody like to read that? Who's got the mic right now? We're okay till 9, right? I think, on a Sunday. Okay. Whoever's got the mic can read this.
What is the particular attraction that makes the Supreme Lord enthusiastic to accept devotional service? And what is the nature of such service? The Vedic scriptures inform us that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, is self-sufficient and that Maya, nations, can never influence him at all. Therefore, the potency that overcomes the Supreme must be purely spiritual. Such a potency cannot be anything of the material manifestation.
Mm. So yes, this is... someone like to have a go at understanding that? It's some nice points here. Anyone's hand up? Nataji? D? Yes. Thank you for your enthusiasm.
Sorry, I had a question about the previous one, which is a bit linked to this one. So it mentioned in both previous paragraph that we read that devotional service is the only way to meet the Lord. But where does the guru come into that equation? So can one just perform pure devotional service? And because we always get told you need to approach Krishna through a bona fide spiritual master, right? So where does the guru come into the equation on this context?
Okay, so your question is in the previous statement I had on board there was that... says only by devotional service you can please Krishna, but your understanding is that the spiritual master is an integral element required. So that's a really nice question, and we'll come back to that in a moment. It's worth considering. Before we go there, I just wanted to kind of pursue this Hladini Shakti idea and understand what Prabhupada has said here, where he's talking about that, about the pleasure potency. So, what is the particular attraction that makes the Supreme Lord enthusiastic to accept devotional service, and what is the nature of such service? So, first of all, we're told that the Lord is self-sufficient, and that Maya, nescience, cannot influence him at all. So I understand from that, again, that the point is that there's nothing you can do, there's nothing external that you can do within this material world that is going to attract him. Just the activity in and of itself. And that gets back to the point we just saw from the 11th canto where he's talking to Uddhava, that nothing, your austerity, your giving me your wealth, your practice of mystic yoga, your knowledge, all of these things, you know, you've fully studied. I know the entire Bhagavad Gita. I knew a devotee many, many years ago who memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita, all 700 verses. He could recite them one after another. And there are many people, actually, who can do that. But even that alone is not going to please him. Okay, that's great. Actually, this devotee gave up devotional service. He left the movement. So there's something else. There's an element that's required, and that's what he's talking about here. Nothing material, nothing you can do. There's a potency that overcomes him that is not material. It must be purely spiritual. So purely spiritual, I understand, means not within the modes of nature. Nothing to do with goodness, passion, or ignorance. So you're not being impelled by the modes to do anything. This is something coming from another dimension, another platform that pleases Krishna. It's nothing to do with this material world. And the Lord is self-sufficient, so what does that mean? It means that we can't bribe him. You know, he doesn't need anything. You can't. It's like, okay, I'm a billionaire, so you know, if I give £1 million to the temple, Krishna will bestow his mercy on me. Well, no, not necessarily. You know, why are you giving him £1 million? You want your name to be on the plaque. You want to, you know, the temple to be called after you or whatever. People to know how generous you are. So, it's like the external act. You can't bribe God, and you can't flatter him. He's self-sufficient. You can praise him. Like he's not, it says in the Bhagavad Gita, he's never influenced like that. He's not, you know, by the prayers or by the calumny, by the insults. These things don't affect him either way. He's self-sufficient. He's completely in himself. He's satisfied. So that's what I understand this to mean. So, but there is something that overcomes him. Prabhupada uses the word here, that the potency that overcomes the Supreme must be purely spiritual. So what is that potency? And here it is explained. Who's got the mic? Prayojana Prabhu, you had your hand up? Give him the mic.
The example is with Prabhupada, actually. And his potency came from following the order of his spiritual master. In that empowered him. And he said, he said often, didn't he, for people to back his purports, because he said he would say
what we want to do here
it would be fresh.
This is a really good point you're making. I like this point, and similarly to Dee, that she was talking about the spiritual master. Perhaps we can come to that in a moment. Sure. I just wanted to have a look at what Prabhupada's saying here and try and understand that if we can. You can understand this if you like, or someone else, if whoever would like to do that. I'll read it first. I think first someone could read that. That would be helpful. Yeah. Cyrus, the great emperor.
Dear me. So, when the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is exhibited by His grace in the person of a devotee, that manifestation is called love of God. Love of God is an epithet for the pleasure potency of the Lord. Therefore, devotional service reciprocated between the Lord and his devotee is an exhibition of the transcendental pleasure potency of the Lord. The Ladini potency gives the Lord all transcendental pleasure, and the Lord bestows such a potency upon his pure devotee.
Thank you. So, yeah, we've got to the point here that Vrindavan Chandraprabhu, did you want to understand it?
I wanted to comment on this based on the nectar of devotion. Prabhupada says here the love of Godhead, he mentions love of Godhead, is the epithet of the pleasure potency.
Mm-hmm.
So love of Godhead is prema, and the first ray of prema is bhava bhakti. And in the nectar of devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami gives the definition of bhava bhakti. And he says it's the Sudha Sattva Visheshatma. You must know the verse. And he explains in the nectar of devotion that this bhava bhakti, or the Sudha Sattva, Sudha Sattva is the combination of the chit and the ladini potency. So bhakti is never achieved. It is only received.
Mm-hmm.
So Srila Rupa Goswami explains that to receive the bhava bhakti, which is essence, is Sudha Sattva, it is bestowed upon us.
Mm.
So this chit shakti and ladini shakti. So the chit shakti is the knowledge potency, and the ladini potency is the pleasure potency.
Mm-hmm.
So when the chit potency and the ladini potency is received or bestowed upon the devotee, and it comes back to the question about the spiritual master. The spiritual master bestows this. It's also called kripa shakti, the combination of chit and ladini potency. So when that is bestowed upon the devotee, before that point, the devotee really cannot understand or know Krishna. But when the devotee receives the chit potency, the devotee suddenly realizes who Krishna is. And when the devotee receives the ladini potency, that is what attracts Krishna. Prior to that, Krishna is not attracted to the devotee. So in this verse from the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami explains, and it's elaborated by Srila Jiva Goswami in the commentary, that this is what the statement means.
This statement means that you're saying, and you're comparing it to a statement from Nectar of Devotion, Bhaktarasamrita Sindhu, that the devotee receives from the Lord the Sudha Sattva. Sudha Sattva is the chit and ladini potency combined. And when they're bestowed on the devotee, when he attains that Sudha Sattva, chit means he understands Krishna, ladini means that mood of bhava bhakti of prema manifests, and that appeal and that attracts Krishna.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
So which is what's being said here.
Yes.
That the Jiva Goswami is saying that we are, by the Lord's grace, we get the Hladini potency bestowed upon us, and then he becomes attracted to our devotional service.
Yes, and that the Acharyas explain this Kripa Shakti.
Kripa, yes, so that's
which
the mercy.
Is the combination of the Chit and Ladini Shakti.
Yeah.
That comes from the pure devotee who already has it.
Yeah.
That's how we receive it.
Okay. So we get that through the pure devotee. And that's Kripa Shakti. Yeah. Here it says that the Ladini potency gives the Lord all transcendental pleasure. Thank you, Prabhu. That's very good. Helpful, yeah. The Lord bestows such a potency upon his pure devotee. So in order to get that, we have to become pure. So we're running out of time, but I wanted to just briefly speak about some very practical ways by which we can actually do this. And let me just jump to those. Here's the same statement. When the Haladini emanates from Krishna and is bestowed upon the living being to attract him, only then does he become a pure lover of God. And then when the Haladini is adulterated by the external material energy that emanates from the living being, it does not attract Krishna. So this is another point about the perversion of love of God. Perverted becomes lust. Of course, that's our current condition. But we haven't really got time to explore that right now. But I did want to just look at a couple of verses from the 11th canto, because As I was kind of preparing this class, it occurred to me that, you know, what can we practically do? The process by which we can begin to awaken this love, because we're trying to achieve pure love for Krishna. So that should surely begin with loving dealings among devotees. And also the point has just been made that we need to get the mercy through the spiritual master, through the pure devotee. So how to do that? And this is this verse and the following one, which I'll also read in a second, to me, give us the very practical process. One should learn how to associate with devotees of the Lord by gathering with them to chant the Lord's glories. This process is most purifying. So very purifying, coming together, doing what we're doing now, actually, discussing the Lord's glories and, you know, chanting together, doing kirtan, and then especially discussing Bhagavatam and Gita together. Purifying, because we need to be pure, for the Hladini potency is bestowed upon the pure devotee, it said, that one who has jnana karma dhyanavritam, no jnana, no karma. So by the process of satsanga, satang prasangam mamavirya sambhidopa vanti rikkana, by coming together and discussing the Lord's glories. So as devotees thus develop their loving friendship, they feel mutual happiness and satisfaction. And by thus encouraging one another, they can give up sense gratification, the cause of all suffering. So this is a very powerful process of, you know, coming together and doing this satsanga, discussing the glories of the Lord. The devotees of the Lord constantly discuss his glories. This is the following verse, among themselves. Thus they constantly remember the Lord and remind one another of his qualities and pastimes. By their devotion to the principles of Bhakti Yoga, the devotees please the Lord, who takes away from them everything inauspicious. Being purified of all impediments, the devotees awaken to pure love of God, and thus, even within this world, their spiritualized bodies exhibit symptoms of transcendental ecstasy, such as haripilation. So to me, this is, you know, this is the practical means by which we can begin to develop our love. Our love must start by manifesting towards each other, towards the Lord's devotees, before we can really approach him and love him. And, you know, are we doing that? Is our sangha developing? Are we developing this mutual satisfaction and happiness and satisfaction, becoming free of sense gratification, and then ultimately pleasing Krishna, who takes away from us everything inauspicious, and then awakening. So satam prasangam mam virya sambidopa bhanti hrikkana rishanakata tajyoshanam yashyapavagavatmani shraddha rati bhakti anukramishyati. Step by step these things awaken. First our faith deepens, and then our attraction, rati, awakens. Rati means a taste for hearing and chanting, which overpowers everything else. We lose all interest in anything material. And then bhakti, then this bhakti comes, this devotion, the Hladini potency comes. So shraddha, rati, bhakti, step by step. So I strongly recommend that we do more of this together, as much as we can. Obviously the classes, try to make them as much as you can processes of mutual discussion, which is what I tried to do today. It's a little difficult, there's a large number of us. It's easier when there's a smaller group, but still, you know, it's possible. Rather than just hearing passively, speaking, one person speaking, everyone else falling asleep, you know, on their phone. So many things, but try to, you know, get involved, engage with the subject matter, hear about Krishna, repeat, because when we speak our understandings, we're repeating Shravanam Kirtanam, that's Kirtan, you know, to discuss the glories of the Lord, and then to meditate on it, Vishnu Smaranam, to you know, assimilate. So these this is the process that will attract Krishna and we'll get the Hladini potency bestowed upon us ultimately. So it's actually gone 9 o'clock. I'm going to stop. I don't know if there's any final points or questions that anyone would like to make before we wrap it up. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to go through all the slides. Mataji, yeah. Can you give her the mic for 1 sec before you speak so that we can all hear you? Thank you.
Going to say probably from my understanding, so it could be anything in devotional service. To my understanding, is the loving exchange that you have.
Closer, but
it's the loving exchange that you have. That is what we're trying to aim for.
Yes.
To my understanding.
Okay. Yeah. So you're saying that devotional service, it could be anything externally, but the essence of it is the loving exchange that we're trying to achieve with the Lord. That's it's an exchange of love, that we're doing something out of love for him. Yeah. And of course he's reciprocating. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else? Anyone? And of course it requires that, you know, love, we can't just pretend that we love God. That has to be developed by this process, hearing and chanting. Go ahead, Prabhu. Did you want to speak?
Hare Krishna. I in terms of everything that we've discussed so far, that we have to develop love and we have to be graced by the spiritual master with that love. And I was thinking then, what is the significance and the importance of being engaged in missionary activity? Is it because it's pleasing to the spiritual master and thus, because it's not directly, trying to spread Krishna consciousness, how does that relate to what we've been discussing today?
Right. So you're saying in respect of developing our love for God and, attracting Krishna's mercy, Hladini Shakti and everything, where do missionary activities fit in to that scheme, is the question. Did I understand
you? I'd like to hear your answer.
Do you have a light? we need to... we didn't really talk much about the spiritual master, which Dee and Prayojana Prabhu is now gone, was speaking about. But, that's also a key part, that we have to satisfy the guru in order to please Krishna. That he's represented. Of course, Krishna is represented as the spiritual master. He is Krishna, the external manifestation of the Lord. So pleasing him means to do what he asks us to do and to satisfy him. So one of the things he likes us to do is missionary work, as much as we can to help others spread Krishna consciousness. So, so as long as we're doing it, again, it gets back also to the point that Mataji was just making, that we do it because we want to please him out of love, out of a desire to satisfy, not out of a desire for our own name, fame, and glories and adoration. That's the key thing, isn't it? Prabhu, in the corner.
In the Bhagavan 9.4.63.67, Prabhupada poses the question, what is a devotee's chief concern? A devotee is concerned about serving him with love. In order to please the Lord and to relieve others' misery, a devotee's chief concern is to liberate others less fortunate living entities and bring them to Krishna consciousness.
Mm. So you're citing a quote from the ninth canto where he stresses the importance of helping others.
Bringing less fortunate to
bringing people,
to
yeah.
Consciousness,
yeah.
Devotees' chief concern.
Yeah. I agree completely. That's critical. Yeah, the nectar of compassion, right?
First bath is compassion. And
yeah.
Srila Prabhupada says preaching is the Radharani spirit.
Yeah. I have this quote here, actually, from the Nectar of Devotion, where Prabhupada says that instead of offering obeisances to Krishna, devotees offer them to his compassionate nature. And that is, he's very difficult to approach directly, but taking advantage of his compassionate nature, which is represented by Radharani. Always pray to Radharani for Krishna's compassion. But I just want to make one quick point about the preaching, which is obviously, you know, very pleasing to the spiritual master, and but not to neglect our own development. You can't give someone something you don't have. You know, we ourselves have to be exemplars of the philosophy we're preaching, and, you know, be experiencing something that we can then be powerful in influencing others. You know, like I was hearing just recently, Prabhupada was talking about his books, and he's saying that, are you reading my books, or are you just selling them? You know, if someone buys the book and then they ask you, well, what's in the book? Well, I don't know. I just sell them, you know, so they're for you to read. You know, that's not so great. We ourselves have to be assimilating as best we can and understanding and realizing, and especially trying our best to understand. Maybe it's hard for us, but we should try at least our best to understand, and do that by coming together and discussing the philosophy, going through it in the ways that I tried to illustrate today. All right, thank you very much, Prabhus. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.